Let me tell you a story. It's a true story. Once there was a man lived in Israel whose name was Eli. He married and had two sons. His sons' names were Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was a priest of the Lord. He served in the tent of the Lord in Shiloh. His job was to help people worship the Lord. And in time, his sons grew up and joined Eli as priests themselves. While Eli seemed to work well at his job, his sons were wicked in their work. They abused those who came to worship the Lord. They stole the offerings that the people brought for the Lord, and they even had sexual relations with the women who came to serve at the tent. Eli confronted Hophni and Phinehas with their sins and warned them to fear God and stop. But the sons did not stop. In time, the Lord himself came to judge that situation. The Lord judged the sons, with both of them dying on the same day. But the Lord also rebuked Eli, saying that because Eli did not stop his sons, that Eli was showing that he honored his sons above the Lord. Our children, like Eli's sons, grow up. What will they become? Will they be the kind of adults for whom things go well, who live responsible, God-honoring lives? Or will they be self-centered, demanding, abusing other people, and even scorning God? Kids and teens, what kind of a person do you think you'll be when you grow up? God-honoring or God-scorning? Loving others or abusing them because you only really love yourself? Do you imagine yourself, kids and teens, do you imagine yourself growing up to be like Hophni and Phinehas? I'll bet none of you do. You can't imagine that you'll be a terrible person as an adult. But some will be. Why not you? You won't turn out good just because you hope you will. Parents, I'll bet some of you worry how your kids will be when they are grown. What will lead them into the right path? You care. I know I do. You care a lot. None of you parents would raise your hand to say, you know, I want to be like Eli. But how can you avoid that? What can you do to lead your children well, to give them the good start they need, to point them in the right direction? The Bible gives specific help to kids and teens to keep them from following the path of Hophni and Phinehas, and to give specific help to parents to keep them from being like Eli. If you want to see that help for yourself, please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. If you've brought your own Bible along, and I hope you have, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. If you don't have one with you, use the Bible that's next to you in the pew. It's on page 979 in that Bible. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, page 179 in the pew Bible. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, page 979. Would you please follow as I read? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Here's the big idea of this message this morning. I'm going to tell you it straight out right here at the beginning. The Lord raises children through the cooperation of fathers and children, by fathers bringing their children up in the Lord's training, and by children obeying and honoring their parents. Let me say it again, it's long. The Lord raises children through the cooperation of fathers and children, by fathers bringing up their children in the Lord's training, and by children obeying and honoring their parents. Would you please pray with me, and then we'll go to this passage and we'll see more about unpacking just what that means and then apply that to our lives. So please pray. God, would you please come and speak to us this morning? Give me words from you for our ears, and give us ears to hear. Please remove our stiff necks and hard hearts. Make us teachable. All of us, parents and children, need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The previous passage to the one that we just read in Ephesians addresses wives and husbands. Wives and husbands come together to make a marriage. And in that passage, God tells wives how to treat their husbands, and he tells husbands how to treat their wives. The goal is a good marriage, which means one that honors God and shows how husbands and wives live together when they have the Spirit of God in them. The passage we read this morning addresses children and fathers. Just as God's message to wives and husbands was for the good of their marriage, so God's message to children and fathers is for the good of their family, but especially for the good of the children. God actually has one message here for children and another for fathers. We're going to look at both of them. So let's start by looking at God's message here in this passage to children. We'll notice right away who the start of the verse is addressed to. The writer's talking directly to children. He says, children, and then he has something to say. So what age do you suppose he means by children? Well, it's for children old enough to understand. Kids, if you're old enough to hear these words and understand them, then this passage is for you. Now, if you're a teen, you might be thinking right now, yeah, but maybe this doesn't apply to me because I'm not a child anymore, right? Well, look down at verse 4. Read what it says there. Fathers, do not provoke your children, there's the word again, to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. By children here, this passage is referring to those who are still being brought up in their parents' home. If your parents are still raising you, providing your food and shelter, then this passage is for you. In our culture, that would include typically high school students and probably a little beyond, depending on who you are in your family. So what's the big idea in these verses to children? It's obey and honor, right? It's pretty clear. So who are kids and teens to obey? They're to obey their own parents, mom and dad. When the verse says, obey your parents in the Lord, the phrase in the Lord modifies the word obey, not the word parents. In the Lord tells the manner in which the children are to obey their parents. In the Lord does not mean that you're to obey your parents only if they are Christians. Instead, it means you are to obey them because God is your Lord and because you are a Christian. Kids and teens, God's word says that if you are a follower of Christ, then because you follow Christ, you will want to obey your parents. Obeying your mom and dad is a key part of what being a Christian child or teen looks like. Obeying your parents as you would obey the Lord is right in the Lord's eyes, and it's right in the eyes of all who worship him. So the first command to children is to obey their parents. Well, now look with me at verse 2 to see the second command. Honor your father and mother. How is giving your father and mother honor different than obeying them? Well, honor is an attitude on the inside. Honor is the attitude that's underneath obedience. If you honor your parents, you will obey them. Honor on the inside of a teen or child looks like obedience on the outside. In my pocket, I have a $20 bill. Look at this $20 bill, kids and teens. If I invited one of you teens up here and gave you this bill, what would you do with it as you walked back to your seat? I'll bet you'd hang on to it. You'd try all you can to not lose it. Why? Because it's valuable to you. If instead of an actual $20 bill, I had a piece of paper with a crayon drawing of a $20 bill, and I asked you to come and take that, oh, you might take it to be polite, but when you got back to your seat, I'll bet you'd take it and you'd just put it on the chair next to you. And when you got up to leave in another half an hour, you'd probably leave it right there. Why would you leave it there? Because it doesn't have any value in your eyes. So, kids and teens, to honor your father and mother, that means that they have value, they have worth in your eyes. Just like you wouldn't leave the $20 bill in the pew when you leave today, so you won't ignore your parents when they talk with you and try to help you. Honoring your parents means that you value what they say, you value their perspective, and you overlook their faults and sins. Yes, I know that your parents, like you, have faults and sins. But if you honor them, you focus on the good in their character and on the good that they're due for you. Your parents deserve honor not because they're faultless, but because you honor God and you trust that the parents God's given you are just the right ones for you. Now, if you're with me, you're probably thinking, yeah, but it's sometimes, oftentimes, really hard to honor my parents. So does the Bible motivate us in any way? Does it help us with our motivation to honor our parents? It does. Look back at verse 2. The verse gives two motivations. The first is that it's a commandment from God. One of the 10 commandments God gave Moses was honor your father and mother. So the first reason children should want to honor their parents is that they want to obey God. Kids and teens, if you tell God that you love him, but you don't honor your parents, he will say to you, I don't know you. You ought to be afraid of that. Call on God to change your heart so you will want to obey your father and mother. This is a prayer God wants to answer, but you have to be humble and ask. The second reason this verse gives for why children should honor their parents is so that their lives will go well, it says, and that they may live long in the land. That promise here in Ephesians is a near repeat of the promise attached to the original commandment God gave to Moses. In the days of Israel, God promised and warned the Israelites that as they obeyed and follow his commands, he'll prosper their lives and give them long lives in the land of Canaan. The verses we're looking at this morning are not written to Israelites, though, but to the church of God. And the land of Canaan is not where most of those people live. Yet, the writer of these verses repeats the promise. What's the point? Kids and teens, God delights in children who honors their parents, and God gives them special blessings. It's just smart of you to want God to delight in you and to bless you. So honor your father and mother from your heart and receive God's blessings. So what have we found so far in the text? Children are to obey their parents as they would the Lord, for that's right. And children are to honor their father and mother because God commanded it and promised a good life to those who do. Children aren't the only one with a role to play in how they, the children, turn out as adults. Look with me now at verse 4. It says there, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you are a father, God's word here is for you. So let's listen to him. God tells us dads something not to do and something to do. Don't provoke your children to anger. This means do all you can to avoid irritating them. Don't demean them. Don't mock them. Don't be harsh or sarcastic. Kids, this command isn't here, though, for you to judge your dads. God gave you your command, obey and honor your parents. Just because you get angry doesn't mean it's your dad's fault. Do you know what I mean? If he tells you to do something that's good and right and you get angry, well, that's not what God means here by not provoking you to anger. God will hold you responsible for your anger in that case. But, dads, God is telling you to do all you can to make it easy for your children to obey. If you mock or demean them, God will hold you responsible for failing to lead them. One strategy for keeping your children from anger is to never tell them what to do. If you let your children parent themselves, oh, they'll be quite delighted. But that's not a godly option for a father. This verse not only tells fathers not to provoke them to anger, but tells dads to intentionally and actively bring them up in a particular way. Children will grow up with your help or not. Some dads are intentional about raising them well, and other dads just let it happen. If you're a dad, God is commanding you to be intentional about raising them well. When we talk about bringing up children, we mean raising them from infancy to adulthood. God tells fathers to bring up their children with His, the Lord's, discipline and instruction. So how would God instruct and discipline your children? That's what you want to know, and that's what you want to do, Dad. The word for discipline here is the word for training. Your children need training. When they're born, they don't know how to do almost anything. Who will teach them to tie their shoes, to make a friend, to take responsibility? More so, who will teach them to repent of their sins, to love their neighbor and classmate and brother and sister? Who will teach them to read and to think and to say no to wrong and say yes to right? Who will teach them to pray to God, to see God as wonderful, to read the scriptures on their own? Your children need training from God, and God has appointed you, fathers, as his agent to train your children. The word for instruction in verse 4 is helpfully translated correction or admonition in some other versions of the Bible. Your children need not only for you to tell them the right way to go, but to correct them when they go wrong, to admonish them when they sin. In the short term, they might get angry with you when you do this. Your children resent being corrected just like you do. So dads, use no more force than necessary to get the job done, but get the job done. Dads, you know adults who didn't get corrected as children, and you know how their adult lives are a wreck because of that. Let God use you for your children's good. Raise them as the Lord would have you. So fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, I want to help you with some practical advice. But before we go there, I want to have a word with you, the moms, the mothers. God has given your husband, moms, the primary responsibility to train your children in godliness. But this doesn't mean that you're to be passive. God calls you, as you know, to help your husband fulfill his God-given roles. So God wants you to be praying and strategizing and implementing godly training alongside your husband. Help him to lead in this area and help him to carry it out. God has called moms to this. Now, what if you're a single mom? You don't have a dad in your home, or perhaps the dad in your home is not worshiping the Lord. Then what should you do, mom? Sit back? No, I think all the commands that we see here to fathers apply to you. Don't provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When should we teach our children about God and godly living? Pastor George, in his candidating sermon, preached from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so if you remember that familiar passage, when does it say we should teach our children the words of the Lord? It says, well, when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. When it says sitting and walking, lying and rising, it doesn't mean do it just during those four activities or those four times. Those are meant to be all the time, whether you're sitting with them or walking. Rather, you're lying down or you're rising, no matter what you're doing, when your children are around them, those are the times for you to be teaching them the words of the Lord. So, what about some of those times? Well, let's talk about car rides. Car rides can be great times to teach your children about God. You can do that just through conversation, asking your children, what are you thinking about? Or how's it going with your friends or homework or hobbies? And then as they talk, help them to see how a godly perspective would be a help to them. You can also play good Christian music while in your car. But the point isn't so much that you find acceptable, entertaining music to listen to in the car as it is to find music that will teach them about the Lord. Parents, there's lots of music that has a Christian label that teaches them pretty poor theology. Don't pick that. Go find some that teaches good Bible doctrine, something that would say, that's like how my pastor preaches. There's songs like that, and they're good. So go find those to listen to in the car. Does your family hike or spend time outside at a park or a cabin? Anytime you're outside, you see God's wondrous works all around you. So one way to teach your kids about the Lord is just to thank God when you enjoy something outside. You can say something like, "Thank God for that sunset. It's so beautiful." You're teaching them as you do that. Another, though, is to connect God's character to what you see outside. You might say something like, "Oh, did you see the sunshine this morning? It just makes me so, I don't know, happy inside." You know, in the new heaven and new earth, when God himself will be the sun, there'll be no sun or moon. Think how happy we'll be then. Dads, I'm guessing that when I talk like that, many of you might be a little intimidated right now hearing that. You might be thinking, but that just isn't me. Well, this brings us to a key ingredient in your being able to bring up your children in the Lord's way. You can't bring them up, dads, where you are not. You see, saying just the right words is not the key to training them in the ways of the Lord. You have to be the right dad or mom behind those words. You have to believe them yourself. They have to be your words. What you say to them about God only has power if the words really come from who you are. God brings up children to walk in his ways through parents, not through some magic words spoken in their ears. I don't know any dads or moms who don't need to, they hear that, what do you need? Well, you need more of God in you. And I don't know any dads or moms for whom that wouldn't be true, for whom don't need to grow in their walk with God in order to help their children do the same. So if you feel spiritually inadequate inside yourself, then get help. That's why here at First Baptist, we offer Sunday morning classes for adults, and we have midweek studies and even one-on-one discipleship. Dads and moms, I know you care a lot about the outcome of your children and their children too. So let that motivate you to prepare yourself to help them. Another way of discipling your children is letting them hear you pray. When life happens, usually you have a prayer request right there. You have a need. So then what do you do? Well, when we were on vacation, my family this summer, we had just parked in a big parking garage in Washington, D.C., got out of the car, went to close the doors, and one of those big powered side doors in the van wouldn't close. I could just imagine going 70 miles an hour down the interstate with a van door wide open. I thought, what are we going to do? I'm 1,000 miles from my favorite car mechanic, Craig, and I don't know anybody in Washington, D.C. So what do you do, Dad? Well, you immediately start looking at the door, right? You start trying it again. You start looking at the hinges. What's it catching on? After trying, failing several times to get it to close, I prayed aloud. With Renee and the kids standing right there, I said, God, I don't know what to do. And I asked him to help us. I really, genuinely felt my need for God's help. It wasn't a prayer for show in front of the kids, but I prayed aloud rather than silently because I wanted my kids to pray with me. I knew it would be good for them to do that and good for them to hear how a dad asks God for help when he's in a tough spot. Dads and moms, this starts with your feeling your need for God's help and your believing that he wants you to ask him. And then you just express that honest request in your own words. Let your children hear you talk with God. It's another good way to give them instruction in the Lord. I recommend the book, A Praying Life by Paul Miller. A Praying Life by Paul Miller. If you'd like a little more help with your own prayer life. God, how do I pray more? And what about? And another helpful way to bring up children in the Lord's instruction is to have some devotional or worship time together as a family. The key parts of that would be reading the Bible or an age-appropriate book based on the scriptures, praying together, and singing to God. If your children are readers, I recommend taking turns reading the Bible aloud. If they're young readers, then everyone just take one verse. It'll take a while for them to work through that one. You help them with that. And then the next one reads, and the next one reads. And you go around until you've read the passage that you've planned for that day. Dads, you'll be helped by reading the passage ahead of time and thinking, what do I see here? What's the big idea of this passage? You might want to use a study Bible as you prepare, if that might help you with it. But you must think on your own and believe it, not just parrot back words that are said in a study Bible. Then after your family's read the passage aloud, what do you do then? Well, you don't just tell them what it means. What you're looking for is for them to think about the passage for themselves. So it works best, Dads, to ask them questions. Oh, for this passage right here today. Hey, kids, who's in that first verse, who's being addressed in this passage? Who's being talked to? How old do they have to be to look down and go, oh, children? That's what I mean by Just ask them questions. And as they're older, you ask them older questions. You ask more interpretive questions. But when they're really little, you can just ask observation questions. And that helps them to think and engage on their own. Dads, when it comes time to pray, how do you lead your family prayer time? I have a way I'd suggest. Just ask your family to answer this simple question. What do you need God's help with? That question works really well from preschoolers who can just barely talk, all the way up to mom and dad, the adults in the room. What you want to encourage is honest, personal prayers. When they're really little, if they're not comfortable praying it, you might pray for them what they've asked you to pray for. Or you might then go around as they're able and let them pray for themselves, and you and mom pray too. You and mom say, what do I need God's help with? And then you ask, and then you pray too. For singing, I purchased 3 hymnals when my children were young. I realized that they learned songs all the time, and so even my pre-readers could learn some hymns. I'd recommend teaching them one song at a time when they're little. Sing that one song time after time until they get it. It might be 2 weeks, but they'll get it. And then you know what? If you start when they're young, they'll love those early songs. One of my children, grown today, still loves to sing that first song we ever taught her to sing from that hymnal. She knows it as number 11, because we would say, hey, let's sing number 11. And that song is Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. That's the first song I taught my kids out of a hymnal. But you don't have to use a hymnal. Use the songs we sing here in church. You can find the words on the internet and print out copies for your family. But the point is to actually sing to God in your hearts, not just entertain each other with your voices, right? Dads and moms, the hardest part of leading family devotions is getting yourself ready. Because remember, this is not about externals. The key to this being helpful, instructive to your children is for you to be all in, for you to see the good in the Bible words that you're about to read, for you to have your heart really wanting to pray for God's help, and for you to sing on the inside at the same time as you're singing on the outside. I tell you that that's the hardest part because it's the hardest part for me. And so what I do is a few minutes before it's time to sit down, I go somewhere in the house quiet and I pray and ask God's help. I ask him to help me believe once again that his words are life and that he wants to hear our prayers and to help me worship him, really worship when I sing. Then I go obey God's command and lead my family toward him. Another helpful tool in every father's discipleship tool belt is the church. As you saw from this passage in Ephesians, Dad, God gives you, dads, the primary responsibility to disciple your children, not the Sunday school teacher, not the Awana leader or the youth leader. But just as you use the outdoors or the Bible or a songbook, so you should use the church. Bringing your children to Sunday school or Awana or youth group helps you fulfill the job God has given you to lead them. If you aren't bringing them, is it because you're so confident in your own abilities to disciple your children that you think I don't need their help? I know none of you would say yes to that. Or do you not bring them because you say, well, I don't really think it's my job to lead my own children? Well, after you read Ephesians 6 this morning, I don't think you'd agree with that either. So dads, get yourself and your family out of bed on Sunday mornings in time to get to Sunday school for you and for them. And arrange your Wednesday nights to get them to a one or a youth group. Because dads, you need all the help you can get. Let's talk for a minute about Sunday morning worship. Parents, think for a minute. Why do you bring your children to worship? What do you hope will happen? Set your hopes higher than just thinking, well, I just want them to come to church just because. No, not just because. Why do you come for worship, parents? I hope you come to see more of God and to worship what you see. I hope you come to hear from God's word as we sing it and pray it and hear it preached. Those are great Sunday morning hopes for you and for them. So parents, be intentional about seeing these hopes fulfilled, so far as it depends on you. If your child was in a school classroom and they slouched in their chair and they wouldn't look at the teacher and they daydreamed out the window, and when the teacher asked them to participate, they refused to do that, would that bother you? If you're like me, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd say, son or daughter, I am not sending you to school to just take up a seat. I'm sending you to learn and grow. I want you to pay attention and participate from now on. As far as I was able, I would make them do that. So in church, even if my children were quite young, I would expect them to stand when we stand and sing with us, trying to learn the songs if they don't know them. I'd expect them to sit when we sit. I'd expect them to pray when we pray. I'm not doing or expecting those things from my children because I want the people around me to think my family is great, but because I want my children to grow up thinking that God is great. Parents, ask and expect your children to fully participate in the worship service. Parents, your children will be watching you in church. If you have a too casual attitude, do you know what I mean? You come late, you don't sing, you play on your phone during the sermon, you look bored or distant during the worship service, then your children won't see much of God here. And they won't grow up learning to worship Him. Dad, especially, come Sunday mornings humble, hungry for God, happy to worship with your brothers and sisters, eager to hear a good word from God during the sermon. And then after your Sunday morning heart is set right, then ask your family to follow you in that. Kids and teens, all the applications I've made so far addressed to your parents, especially your dad. Is there any application for you from this passage? Think with me. If you're ready and willing to obey and honor your parents, and they whisper to you in the pew on Sunday, hey, please stand and sing with us, then will you smile and sing? Or will you shoot them that look that says, I can't believe you're asking me to do that? Or if next week your dad tells you he'd like you to start having family devotions, will you be glad for it and tell him, I'm looking forward to it? Or will you frown and tell him how boring that will be? Kids, you have a strong role to play in your own discipleship. If you want to grow up like Hophni and Phinehas, then when your parents discipline and instruct you in the Lord, don't honor and obey them. But if you want your life to go well, if you want God's special blessing to those who honor their parents, then follow your dad's lead when he tries to train and correct you in the Lord. Your being brought up in the Lord requires your cooperation. Kids and teens, I'll bet if I could ask you privately right now how hopeful you are that you will obey your parents and honor them, that many of you would tell me you've tried and failed many times. You'd like to do better, but you don't know how to change. Fathers, I'll bet if I could ask you privately right now how hopeful you are that you'll not provoke your children to anger, but you will bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, that many of you too would tell me that you try, but you aren't very good at it, especially the nurturing them spiritually part. If you've been coming here and hearing Pastor Brian preach, you know that if your hope is in yourself, your hope is very thin. You children and teens won't naturally obey and honor your parents, and you fathers won't naturally raise them as God has designed. You both must look to the Lord for hope. You need Him to transform you, even to make you want to do what's right. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Might being a godly child and a godly father be one of those good works God has designed for us before we were born? Surely. Well, how will God accomplish those good works in us? Well, in another place in this book of Ephesians, Paul prays this, that God may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. For what purpose? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ changes the heart he resides in. He wants to clean up your desires, even the desires of children who know they ought to obey and honor their parents, and the desires of fathers who know they ought to bring up their children in the Lord. Children and fathers, you can't live with each other like God commands unless God unleashes his cleansing, changing power within you. Repent when you do it, when you fail to do it right. Tell God you're sorry and ask him to give you more of his Spirit so your heart will want to do right. This is a prayer God is eager to answer. If you have a history of failure, there's forgiveness for you. Just ask God, but you must humbly ask and ask him to change you. Friends, the big idea this morning is that the Lord raises children through the cooperation of fathers and children, by fathers bringing up their children in the Lord's training, and by children obeying and honoring their parents. This is God's word for us this morning. Please come and talk with me if you have questions or just want to know more. I love to help parents parent their teens and children.